Blog Talk Radio.
Omar.
I'm moving. I'm not available the rest of the month at all.
Starting when?
Starting like right away. Sorry.
Okay.
Then I guess we'll do it without you.
Okay.
Everybody else, when do we want to do it?
What did you just say? Thanksgiving, like the day of Thanksgiving, or like around Thanksgiving?
We can do it around then.
I mean, okay.
Not then. That was just an idea. We could do it this weekend or
yeah,
like
I'd rather
week.
Do it as soon as possible. I mean, because, you know, things come up around Thanksgiving.
Okay, I could do this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, not Saturday. Sorry. I got some. Well, I mean, if we work around it.
I'm fine with Sunday.
Sunday would be better.
Could we do like daylight hours on Sunday?
Yeah, I won't. I mean, I have my mother to rouse me out of bed if that ever happens
be
again.
Available on Sunday, actually. I have to call my mom when we might have been doing something for her.
I can do it Saturday if you give me, like, let's do the show, and then later on I'll research it and tell you what hours.
Okay.
Yeah, let's figure it out. We got to figure it
out. If we just work around that, it should be all right.
No, did you find a place and everything to move, or are you still figuring that out?
Oh, well, we're moving our stuff to my dad's, and we're going to stay there for a month and then to Arizona. But we do have a place that we really want. We just have to just finish the lease with it and stuff, contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. I put my song in the playlist.
Did you do it like just now?
The playlist? Go!
Okay. Everybody ready?
Yes.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. The Deftones guitarist made the news last week because of some very outlandish opinions he shared on a podcast. Apparently he said deep dish pizza is good, and this pizza... What? He didn't say that? Oh, then what's the problem? Seems like a good guy to me. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
Well, I would say deep dish pizza is technically pizza. But that's not what we're talking about. But we got plenty to talk about. You don't think it's pizza? Darren, what do you think?
I'm shocked that you'd even entertain the notion. You're a shock jock.
Noah, you're muted.
Horrible.
I was asking Rob, how much weed have you smoked that you don't remember our like feelings and thoughts on pizza? On Chicago style pizza.
I remember your thoughts, but I thought it was just agreed upon that it's technically pizza. I guess it's a pie. It's technically a pie. Can we agree it's a pie?
I see from your Zoom background, for those listening on audio only, Rob has a Zoom of the a map of the flat Earth floating in space as a disc. And I see that in addition to the deep dish pizza, you have other controversial views as well, as the deep dish being a real pizza.
Well, I don't have these views, but earlier this week, or late last week, a member of the Deftones revealed these views, which, by the way, this isn't accurate because there wouldn't be, like, space wouldn't exist.
Okay, there's so no... Rob has a flat Earth background.
It's a trampoline, also. Yeah, so, like, if it was the flat Earth, it wouldn't have, like, legs and a little rim around it like that.
So, Rob, what you're saying is this depiction of the Earth as a flat disk floating in space is not accurate to how the actual flat disk floating in space is?
Well, as we'll come to learn you can believe what you want to believe. There are many theories. And we'll get to them all. Welcome to the Metal Injection Livecast. It's episode 594. Thank you for being with us. All of our episodes are available for streaming whenever you want on all podcast platforms like Apple Music, Spotify,
TuneIn,
Podbean, sure.
Parler.
And, no. We're not on Parler. We have no official presence. On
Account
Parler.
Pending. It needs to be approved.
But we do have a Patreon if you want a little extra. And our Patreon includes, we've been actually doing like two bonus episodes a month. It's been nice. And we just posted a Bill and Ted roundtable that we did about the third movie. And it was actually a episode where you typically, I feel like we're all on the same page with our thoughts on the movie most of us would be, but it felt like we all had different varying opinions about this one. So that was an interesting discussion. And at the top of the month, we talked about Borat subsequent movie film. There's plenty of, you have access to all of our archived bonus episodes, including stuff like Motley Crue's The Dirt. We did a watch along of that. We did a watch along of Santa with Muscles, starring great thespian Hulk Hogan. We did a Lords of Chaos roundtable. We did like Firefest stuff. There's tons of great episodes, over a year's worth of bonus episodes. Patreon.com/Metal Injection Livecast. So let's get to the main topic. I wanted to talk about this. Deftones guitarist Stephen Carpenter went on the Tin Foil Hat podcast with Sam. What's his last name, Sid?
Tripoli.
Sam Tripoli. He's a comedian. He, who I would describe as like a 99 cent store version of Joe Rogan. So this podcast is a conspiracy podcast. I was floored. And really, so just to give a little background on Deftones, they just put out a new album, Ohms, this year, a few months ago. It's very good. Probably one of my favorite albums of the year. And what's interesting is on the previous album that they did, one of the narratives to come out of that previous album was that guitarist Stephen Carpenter wasn't involved in the writing process of that album. And to be clear, Stephen Carpenter is the guy, the focus of the interview that we're about to,
yes,
to do. And they were being very vague about what was happening, but they were just like, oh, we just weren't connecting. We were on a different level. But after watching this interview, I'm starting to think that at the time of the recording of the previous album is likely when he started being red-pilled, as the term, like from The Matrix. Because like I could see if he's coming around with some of these controversial viewpoints, I can see how some of the other members of the band might need a break from him.
Well, you guys didn't like my new song, Only Two Genders? I thought it was...
Well, we didn't get into that.
So you think that whatever, like, crazy thing he believes, you think it came in the way of their, like, creative process and just, like, jamming? You think he couldn't leave that outside the studio?
No, I'm not saying this is definite. Like, this isn't confirmed.
It's just your opinion, man.
This is pure speculation, but the reason I speculate this way is it really just wouldn't make sense to me. He was such an integral part of the songwriting process. I assume that like it had to be nothing to do with the songwriting, but the personalities. But let's get into it. So I wrote down a lot. I mean, this is an hour and a half. We don't have to go through all of it. Like once we start getting sick of it.
Yes,
because at some point, like, is it more our podcast or that podcast? We might get in trouble.
Right. I'm going to try to be very judicious with the scanning. But there really is just a lot.
Already a lot.
So let me.
This guy's been in the band the whole time?
Okay. Yeah. And also I want to say, you know, this guy is like the resident stoner of the band. And
I couldn't tell.
Are his eyes closed for the entire interview?
No.
90% closed.
He's holding this G-Pen or whatever, like he's Bob Dole. And throughout the entirety, like look, here he is at the beginning of the interview. And I want to just like skip. Well, this is Sam.
This is a long interview. You didn't even have a beard at the beginning of it.
Yeah. And I wanted to get to like this is him towards the end of the interview. Look at how much more stoned he is an hour in.
If you're not watching it on video, his eyes are literally 7/8 closed, and that's the open state.
Okay. So let's start.
Oh, look, Sam Tripoli's in on it too.
Every freeze frame is just a white dude looking really fucking exhausted.
Rob, okay. Let's do a game where you have to freeze frame it on where their eyes are fully open for one frame. Just one.
Well,
frame.
Okay. Well, here's what they're talking about, what reality they're in. I'm...
Oh boy. It's official.
Many examples.
Yeah, man. Like I remember when I was a kid, it was the Berenstain Bears, and now it's the Berenstain Bears.
Yes, exactly. They really do go into stuff like that. I want to now quickly, before we get into more controversy, this guy's live read was notably hilarious.
This is the host.
What?
This is a goof, right?
This is real. This is a real library. I just love the awkward trans. I guess even dumber, but we don't have to go.
Someone pranked him to see if he'd actually read an ad for peanut butter whiskey.
That's an actual thing.
It gets even
that.
Stupider
Why?
About like how he's patriotic, but whatever. We have plenty to get through. All right. Then he literally mentions the Matrix, which I was just like, all right. Oh, of course, there's a Blue Chew ad.
We had Blue Chew before.
Blah, blah, blah.
I skipped all of that because it was just not even worth discussing. Oh, that, which is proof that it's
correct.
Wow, he's a terrible host.
Get to the point. This is a common thing, like them talking about studying and like doing your research, but then also saying anything can be a conspiracy, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear his answer.
Don't bother researching it. It is.
Look, this is so disheartening to watch how fucking baked out of his mind this fucking
dude is. Why is that disheartening? Are you just jealous?
No, because it's
less weed for Rob.
Yeah.
Also, can I by looking at the shot, you could tell that he's doing this with his phone camera.
Yeah.
And he's in like this very plain room. It just looks like he's like in a mental facility.
This is like a mugshot, you know.
Nurse Ratched is about to come in and beat the shit out of him with a taser. Wait, the oldest profession, isn't that prostitution?
Yeah, what is he talking?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, it's with Darren.
Oh, he's
Darren,
didn't.
You're in on it.
No, I mean,
I thought that was like a banker, like a Soros.
Expression.
But then the hooker thing like totally threw me off.
He meant that. See, I thought he was mixing up his metaphor, saying the oldest profession meaning something else than what it actually is. Mm. But then he was just really calling politicians hookers, I guess. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Okay, so let's.
I thought he was being literal.
So now, he's talking about space. Here, now we get to the good stuff, folks. Which, like, the
a telescope.
So, there's so many lies like that about, like, the, like, it can't possibly be real because I can't comprehend how it's physically possible.
Fucking magnets. How did
that yeah, exactly.
He's like, oh, if it's 30 billion years away, how did you see it? Huh? Am I right? Folks, airplane food. What is...
Oh, I know about that.
The hell planet is...
Sorry, Dan. What were you...
The hell planet is just a planet that has a really hot atmosphere. They're not like saying literal demons live there.
It was just a sexy headline. Like, that guy just read the headline.
It, that was also the original name for Metal Injection. I went away from
a sexy headline?
No.
Babe of the day? Are you kidding me? There ain't no light in the side of my refrigerator. As soon as I turn it on, I open the door, the light's on, okay? There doesn't go on and off. Get out of here.
I have
You're telling me I close the door, the light goes on? Please. I don't see it.
You tell me
I breathe air. I don't see shit. Where's this air that's supposed to be floating around in the air?
Sorry, Noah.
No, it's fine. My conspiracy theory is that Sam Tripoli has like 8 more teeth than a normal human being has. When he opens his mouth, look at his bottom jaw. That's not normal.
Sam Triple Teeth.
Aliens.
Aliens. You're telling me humans are supposed to have 54 teeth? Nah.
All these doctors, they're running around. They say that people have bones. I don't see any bones, all right? What,
there ain't nothing wrong with my mandible.
Oh, because you show me an X-ray? Please. Why isn't it a Y-ray?
X-rays, how do they work?
They just make this shit up as they go along. Get you. And this fucking dunce is like entertaining all of this too.
Not only is he entertaining, he's like, yeah, you're right. Let's
let's go point by point. This is an interesting theory. Let's cover this.
What puts the boo in Boogeyman?
Shocked. Bombshell.
Oh, God.
Long story short, my daughters are dead.
Back, baby.
Which is not true.
But if it was, that would be good.
The whole podcast of guys talking about things they heard at the gym from somebody else.
Like, it's like a secondhand information about everything.
Passing.
Yeah. But also the thing that hurts me, that gets me upset, is how confident they are that this secondhand information is true.
Right.
That's,
you know what I love?
Really bothers me.
You know what I love? Before, when you were fast forwarding and we got to that part where they were doing the Blue Chew ad, he had on, you could see his computer screen, and he had like a whole Blue Chew FAQ. So he had all the facts right there in front of him. So for that, he actually cares about citation and getting it right. But for all this other shit, it's just, oh, I heard this from some guy, whatever. There's no fact.
No.
For the ad read, we got to make sure we get that right.
This is getting to an important point. They got COVID.
What?
Like, how could you definitively say that? It's my
he
like,
read it
so confident in that
because he read it on qpatriot1776.biz. That's why it's on the
well,
internet.
What's fascinating is this is completely apolitical. Like, this isn't, you know, like it's just it's like conspiracy theoryism is like its own little black
very good,
hole. So
very good point.
I do like that he's like giving him the softball, like teeing him up, like, oh, obviously people are going to hear you say you're anti-vax.
Yeah. He's doing the Edward R. Murrow approach to anti-vax.
Sam Tripoli is Edward R. Murrow.
Some have said that your ideas are wacky.
So here he'll acknowledge this.
OS for life.
We never eradicated polio.
No. Oh, the vaccine is causing the virus. The vaccine is causing the virus, he's saying.
But if the virus already exists, but the vaccine doesn't, how does he make sense of that?
Maybe the COVID virus comes from a different vaccine, and then it's a chain, and you get the COVID, and another virus comes.
Perhaps he would argue that COVID doesn't exist. No, that's
the vaccine. How they control us.
Yeah.
No, but he just acknowledged that it does.
Yeah, he said the virus is a body's response. So he's saying there is COVID, but your body manufactured it.
Oh,
he
okay.
Thanked the virus 2 seconds ago.
Well, he thanked it for educating him on how somebody gets a virus. Yeah, he elaborates a little more.
I like to thank this thing I don't believe exists. God, sorry.
Everyone's been lied to.
Look, in a way, I kind of agree with him. I kind of agree with him because I do feel like if I look back at my parents and their parents, they were definitely like way more paranoid than we are. So they were probably like more anxious about catching shit. So I guess I agree with him in that way.
I think that's just them being Jewish.
Possibly.
Really?
Okay, let's say a little more.
Well, thank you. Of course you do.
Okay, we can fast forward here. He's like, this is stupid. I'm not even going to acknowledge the dumb stuff he's saying. Then they get back into the vaccine stuff.
Okay.
I want to just point out that he just said that he's shared joints with people with Hep C, and it's mind over matter. That if you
what?
Just tell yourself that, like, you're not gonna get it, that you won't get it.
It's like the secret.
Yeah.
You just will yourself.
Yeah.
The secret is he has Hep C.
I got Hep C from a joint. You know, I had to take care of my two daughters. You know, my wife doesn't do shit around the house, so I had to just get a Hep C all over them, and they don't have it. Well, they had it now. They got rid of it because they had a great willpower. You know what I mean? How's my teeth looking?
Shut up.
Iron Man had that thing in the middle.
Oh, boy.
Hard at work.
Who?
These YouTubers that he follows.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, man.
Ugh.
Poor Johnny.
I couldn't believe that part. They were mocking somebody for believing the earth was round. He's the one guy on the show that believed.
But then he like off. He saved himself by saying, no, I believe everything is a simulation. And they're like, oh, all right, cool.
Yeah.
It's just the most useless solipsism that I've ever found. Like, they, who gives a fuck if we're in a simulation? So how does that change your life in any way?
Yeah.
You,
reboot?
You get hit by a car. You're still going to go to the fucking hospital, or you're going to sit there and go bleed out because you're in a simulation, you dumb fuck? Shut the fuck up. He agreed with me, I think, there. He just said what I said. He said, hey, you're on a simulation, but you're still not on a spinning ball inside the simulation, you dumb fuck. See?
Can I ask a question? What did guys like this call it before the movie came out?
What
like
movie?
Before they had
the
that
Matrix.
Reference to call it The Matrix?
Oh.
A dream, what? Maybe? Ghostbusters. Maybe it was all a dream.
Right?
I don't know. Look, the freeze frame now, it's his mouth looks like a inflamed butthole. It's disturbing.
The weird bright color of pink.
Yeah. It's like bubblegum lips.
Yeah.
The facts.
Did you get all like that? No.
No.
It's hard to talk to people about subjects that they don't know about because they're in the Matrix. He can't red pill people because they're too busy being in the Matrix to see outside of the Matrix to see that they're in the Matrix. The Matrix.
Keep going. I want to hear what he says. So now we're kangaroos?
Well, I think what's so great is they're putting it on, you know, us. Let's say, yeah. Like, you know, we're the weird ones for not understanding their like, bulletproof logic.
There are three brain cells that are left.
Okay, let me – I don't –
you know
this
who
guy just talks so much.
They're not really that different from, like, born-again Christians.
I agree with you.
It's like they see the world for what it really is, and they want to help us. They want us to understand because it'll make our life better.
Yeah.
And we're just not speaking the same language. They can't get through to us. But they want to save us.
Look at how fucking baked out of his mind. It was so hard to watch. Like, not hard to watch. Like, I was like, I used to think you were so cool. It was such a wake-up call, I guess. Like, oh.
I say, before this week, I did not know what this man's name was. Like, I knew the Deftones must have a guitarist. And I know, like, there's a guy in the band named Chino Moreno. I know that guy. But I had no idea what the Deftones guitarist looked like, if it was the same guy all the time, anything. And now it's this guy.
Okay. Does he ever get in, like, does he say anything besides, like, a finger point where other people or red, like, you know, like, he's just, like, speaking in, like, vagaries. Does he get, like, into anything specific or he talks about, like, what Flat Earth is and all that? Or no?
Yes. Yeah. There's a little more of that. And he says he basically believes that he's in the Truman Show.
Oh, and my God.
We'll get to
that.
Oh, come on.
Coming up. That makes sense.
Who cares about him enough to do the Truman Show with
him?
Yeah,
seriously.
Well, that
maybe Chino
I,
Moreno.
I
want
to point out because when we get to that part, he says something so insensitive.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I can agree with that.
Well, I mean, it's not to say
I don't agree with his statistics, but I agree with what he says.
Sure. I mean, there's points like with all conspiracies, it starts at a rational point and then just falls off a cliff.
There's definitely things in here that are agreeable. But then he'll say stuff like what he's about to say right now. Oh, hold on. So NPCs, I have to look this up.
Yeah.
NPC means non-playable character.
They're envisioning life as a video game, and then the people around you are like NPCs in the simulation. That
to, and to put it into human language, basically extras in your movie, you right. know? So here's his explanation.
Wow.
That's a car passed by.
I can't believe a car passed him. That's one in a million that he could have predicted that.
And he said Q car and a car drove by. What are the odds?
I thought he was talking about his car because he has Q painted on it because he's a QAnon nut.
Hey, look, it's my Q car.
Go ahead, Sid. I'm sorry. I stepped on your
Q card.
They would require that as well. But my question is like, so is Sam Tripoli an actor in this guy's Truman Show? Or is Sam Tripoli also a real person in the Truman Show, which would sort of disprove it? Like, is everyone else an actor or just certain people? How does it work?
I don't know.
What?
We don't need their take. You know I want to hear
it. You know what
take.
I think? I think the problem is that these people's parents love them too much.
Yeah.
They just think they're like the center of attention.
Yeah.
So here, are you guys ready for his 9/11 connection?
Oh God.
No.
Sure.
We're almost through this.
Allegedly.
Why is that so shocking?
Yeah.
They send the same flight yeah. back and forth from DC to, like, there's no coincidence
it's a part of his job to travel all the time. So it is likely
yes.
that he'll be on
yeah.
flights.
Right. You're more likely to be in these kind of situations.
Especially
fucking flight cards.
Area.
How do they work?
He's from like the D.C. area, right? Like he's from
Maryland. No, they're from San Francisco.
He really looks
so
like
from Sacramento.
Oh, Sacramento. I'm sorry.
He looks like Frank with a long beard. Am I crazy?
Oh,
especially when he talks.
I don't see it.
Look at this guy biting down. So he's talking about the terrorist shooting in Paris at the Eagles of Death Metal show.
Oh, yeah. Step into a Slim Jim.
Yeah, I bet. So that's okay. So this, when he said that, that really bothered me.
Why?
So he's saying that all of these people that died were extras in his Truman Show.
But then
right?
he's friends with people in the band. Are they also
I don't get it. I don't get
happening?
It.
I don't
know.
Maybe that's the Twilight Zone part. It's the part that he doesn't get either.
Yeah,
this guy's like subtle.
That guy's the voice of reason.
Yeah, he's breaking down his conspiracy, his flat earth.
Was?
It was. He's over.
I love space, but you know, I can't trust anything that's happening out there anymore. Because everyone who taught me about space told me there's a spinning ball that we all live on.
You joke, but that's exactly what he thinks.
I'm predicting his a gastrous ball.
Yes, I was waiting for that.
You telling me this whole thing started because of some gastrous ball?
Steve Harvey of Hard Rock.
All right, so I want to now. I'll skip the flat Earth stuff. I get the feeling that you guys are feeling it's a little repetitive. So I want to move more to some life advice that he has.
Oh boy.
Oh.
He willed away. They are.
I'm about to give you a toxic release.
It's just stress.
I saw the doctor and he gave me this herpes diagnosis and I was so stressed out about it that a cold sore showed up.
For people who have like herpes, I think like one or something like that, that's how cold sores happen, from stress, if you have the virus. So he's correct.
Well, no, he's saying that's not the case, right? Isn't he? I'm sorry. It's very hard to follow this idiot.
Yeah.
I think he's saying all viruses are stress-based.
Yeah,
he's
not just limiting that to cold sores.
But
he's
that's not, like, the virus is not stress-based. It's that when you have something like herpes that stays in your body for your whole life, mm-hmm. When your body's always suppressing it, and that's why you don't have a cold sore. When your immune system gets taxed because you have a cold, for example, or some other thing that distracts your resources, it allows the herpes virus to come out and make sores. So stress can do that too. It's not that fucking complicated.
There we go.
Oh boy.
Good luck.
Didn't Metallica play in Antarctica?
Yeah. Yes.
I think he's just bitter because his band wasn't big enough to get on that show.
Yeah, maybe Metallica's in on it. They're in on this conspiracy to convince people there's an Antarctica.
Yeah, a little political talk, baby.
The whole country?
You know what? The yes anding here, it's like in elementary school when one kid is like bragging about how cool his dad is and just making shit up, and then another kid has to top him. It's like, oh yeah, my dad makes $1 million a year. Oh yeah, well my dad had sex with every single Sports Illustrated model.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? And they just keep...
Yeah, it's Bill Brasky.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like, oh, you said something about North Korea. Watch, I could top that. I got a North Korea thing too. Check it out.
Bill Brasky said there was no Antarctica, and he proved it. Bill Brasky.
Oh,
one last
God.
Thing, him on a plane. People, a lot of people were like, hasn't he been on a plane? How can he think the Earth is flat? I'm with you. I love the moments like that where, like, they could take the piece of advice they give someone else and point it inward, but
right.
They refuse.
This is so absurd that I might have to start listening to this podcast.
Don't do it.
Oh, no.
Reverse psychology.
Look, I have to tell you, I did not think I was going to sit through 1 hour and 40 minutes of this, but I did. just because I just could not believe where they were going with some of the stuff.
2 weeks later, Noah's going to show up back on this podcast saying how there's no Antarctica. I feel like.
I'm like, actually, you know what, guys? I was talking to my buddy Sam. Maybe the earth is flat.
Oh, my God.
From this thing that isn't real?
No, no, no. From whatever this thing you died from. God. He didn't say that you died from corona, I want to point out.
Correct.
Okay, we don't have to play any more of this. I will spare you. But I want to just say that after this little diatribe that he goes on, one of the other hosts points out that when he checks out at a store, immediately after he checks out, he takes off his mask. Like, as an act of defiance.
While he's still in the store?
Yeah, because, like, what are they going to do? Kick him out? He already bought what he needed. Which it's like, great job, buddy.
Very mature.
Like, yeah.
So the other day on, I think it was, like, on Netflix or something, or Amazon Prime, like, I saw that there's a documentary on flat earthers. Mm. And because this came up in the news, I said to myself, okay, well, this beats having to like go in and read about it and trying to do research. And, you know, like, I just want to know where these people are coming from and what their theories are.
Saw that. It's really good.
Oh, you did? Because, okay. So you'll have to tell me, because I turned it on and the first, I don't know, like 3 minutes were so stupid. Like the guy talking about this like half dome and he also like alluded to like life being like the Truman Show. It was so dumb that I was like, there's no way that I can find anything to relate to. Like, I'm not going to feel any empathy for this person.
See, even as like a fan of conspiracy theories, you couldn't even like suspend your disbelief.
No, as just like, it wasn't even a fan of conspiracy theories. It was just like wanting to find humanity in a person who believes something so like incredibly, I don't know, like out of this world. So just like trying to like understand another person's point of view, but there is no understanding it. Like, it's just plain dumb.
Yeah. There was a guy on the Howard Stern show. Like, I was driving, I was stuck in traffic and he just went through the whole back and forth. Howard Stern went through the whole back and forth with this flat earther. And it was crazy. It kind of ties into religion too. Because the religion, well, there's like a Christian aspect to it with the flat earth, because then like heaven would be above earth.
Well, it says in the Bible that the earth is a flat circle.
Right, right, right. So like there are some that put the religious, there's all these different sects.
What's their like scientific angle? What did the documentary come up with?
Darren, I guess that's for you.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Noah?
So like, what's their like,
How do they prove
religion,
that it's flat?
Because I feel like with religion,
oh,
we can...
Well, it's interesting because they follow a number of different people. Like, so it's like split into cross-cutting stories about different people. And like,
if I could just interrupt, there's no like concrete set law of flat earth. There are many different theories.
And they hate each other. So they show like how some of these people have feuds with one type of flat earther going against another type of flat earther because their theories are different.
And one thinks, you're an idiot, you're crazy, you're a detriment to the whole cause.
Yeah, you're making us all look bad.
yes, that is what they say.
Of course.
And Noah, you should watch it because like what you said is true. Like there's a lot of setup. Like they just show a lot of these ridiculous things back and forth, and that kind of lays the bedrock for this movie. But then it becomes like more of a serious documentary. Like they are, in a sense, mocking these people, but I feel like there's an earnest like attempt to understand what makes them tick and to be somewhat sympathetic to them and like, you know, how does somebody get like this? Yeah, it's not just a complete and total mockery of them, I would say. It's very well done. If we're talking about the same movie, I don't know.
And either before or after you do that, you know, take a puff or two and listen to new music out now from Paul Bearer. The 8-song album is available in a number of limited edition vinyl variants, available via both the Nuclear Blast and Paul Bearer web stores, as well as digitally, CD, and cassette. Paul Bearer, one of the hot new stoner jammers out there today, have a self-titled album. Definitely check it out. I'm a big fan of Paul Bearer. I'm a big fan of their not at all flat riffs. The earth might be flat, but Paul Bearer's riffs aren't. Am I right, fellas? High five.
That's definitely going to be taken out of context.
And if you have theories on the earth, flat or round, give us a ring. 213-WIDENUT is the number. That's 213-943-3688.
I kept waiting for Sam Tripoli to go, you know what else is flat but round? A plate. When you get your HelloFresh, you cook it, you put it on a plate, you got a delicious dinner. Ivory-related conspiracy theory.
Jason in our YouTube chat writes, don't meet your heroes. The majority of them are complete morons. And
is anybody really like the guitarist from the Deftones is your hero?
Why not?
Because I don't know. He's like some dude.
Why not?
Chino Moreno. That's the superstar of the group.
I agree with Sid. Chino Moreno.
That's right.
It's like being a big fan of Chris Poland. You know, come on.
They actually made pants at J. Crew after Chino.
What? No, I don't think that's.
What? Chino's, no? I thought that was after him.
Who knew? White Pony was so good. They were like, we got to give this guy his signature pants.
His own fashion line.
You said that with such conviction that I really thought maybe Chino's come from this guy. Holy mackerel. That's usually going to acting.
You know what? We also discuss conspiracy theories on this podcast, and that might be one of them.
Dude, wasn't that guy from Fugazi, Stan Corduroy? Didn't he have pants named after him?
True. He did.
It's going around.
Legendary. And see, that wasn't even brand specific. That's just any store that sells those pants, or they name it after him.
Yeah. Well, chinos aren't brand specific.
Yeah. Well, Noah said a specific brand. Maybe she's just on the
payroll. I only saw that in like a J. Crew catalog. I've never seen pants called chinos before.
Oh, that's a known, pant in Old Navy, in any store, Banana Republic.
What distinguishes owned, them?
No, but they're all owned by the same person who owns J. Crew. So you
Sheldon Adelson.
I knew it. It is a conspiracy.
Gap. The Gap is also owned by them. But speaking of vaccines, you know, as coronavirus vaccines get advanced, there's two vaccines now, one from Pfizer, one from
Uncle Pfizer, right?
Uncle Pfizer.
I forget the other company.
Moderna.
Thank you.
Wait, so this
Maduro? Wait, what?
Moderna. You jerk.
Moreno.
Oh my god.
Oh, don't tell me Chino Moreno is putting out a vaccine now.
No. Yeah, Uncle Faza.
A competing vaccine. I don't know. Would you trust that or the Trump vaccine more?
I'd have to see the clinical trial. Yeah. But so the point I'm getting at is now there was a report in Billboard which got
Music magazine?
Yes. I'll get to this in a second. There's a report in Billboard which got such negative feedback that Ticketmaster basically released a statement saying it's not true. But Ticketmaster, basically the report focused on how Ticketmaster planned to get shows back up because all the promoters are kind of working with the idea that next summer shows will be back, which... Where we are right now still seems like outside chance. Doesn't look good. But.
I mean, there may be shows in places that are not that strict about.
Right. But I just mean like nationally shows are back. I'm finding it hard to see that. But so their idea was. So let me just read from the thing. But the basic idea was fans would download the ticket to their Ticketmaster app. There wouldn't be physical tickets. And then the Ticketmaster app would link to a health app like the CVS Minute Clinic, digital health pass from IBM health app would beam information to the Ticketmaster app if the fan had the vaccine or not. So here's how it would work if approved. After purchasing a ticket for a concert, fans would need to verify that they have already been vaccinated, which would provide approximately 1 year of COVID-19 protection, or test negative for coronavirus approximately 24 to 72 hours prior to the concert. The length of coverage a test would provide would be governed by the regional health authorities. If attendees of a Friday night concert had to be tested 48 hours in advance, most could start the testing process the day before the event. If it was a 24-hour window, most people would likely be tested the same day of the event at a lab or a health clinic. And the note, the report notes the fans would have to have the lab deliver the test to the health pass company, which then would pass along the information to Ticketmaster. The article states, if a fan tested positive, didn't take a test to verify their status, they would not be granted access to the event.
They get a refund?
Yeah, that wasn't mentioned. What if you buy a ticket and then you test positive, you can't go in? They got to give you your money back.
Well, here's the thing with me, like, anytime I get concert tickets, like the day I buy them, I'm very excited. But then as the date approaches, I'm like, do I really want to go to this? So if you're putting an extra step in between where like I have to now go take a test, there's no way I'm going to that fucking concert.
Exactly.
Whether I'm sick or not, I'm just like, oh, this is too much hassle. Fuck it.
You know what you can do when you get there? Is as soon as the concert's over, just take your mask off and go, what are they going to do? Kick me out.
What how are the Deftones going to handle this? That's the question. What if you do that at a Deftones show?
What are you gonna say, Ellen?
I was going to say, like, do you know Ticketmaster to be a company that gives refunds?
Well, that's it. So the thing, the overwhelming majority of response that the Metal Injection post saw was
that Rob Pesbani is a lib cunt.
Read my comment. Read my comment.
And then the second most posted comment was like, there's no way I'm trusting Ticketmaster with my health info. Like, I will never.
That's true.
There will never be a day where I will pass along my health info to Ticketmaster. And like, I'm not saying that this was like 10% of the, this was like 80%, I would say. And then Noah's comment was, how much will this raise the already exorbitant service fees they charge us? You know there's going to be a vaccine fee. Of course.
Yeah, and also to, like, open the ticket on the app, they're going to charge a service fee for that. Like, any little thing. Nothing.
Especially because, like, all the money they've lost, and it's not going to be, like, full capacity, so they're going to want to make up that money somehow.
Exactly.
So I ran a poll on this story, and again, not scientific. It's just whoever's reading the story. But only 21% said I plan to get the vaccine right away, so I don't mind doing this. 14% said I would be okay with testing within 3 days before the show. 65% said there's no way in fucking hell they're doing this.
65% agree with Sid.
And
I mean, it depends on the band. Like, if this is just like some like mid-level show, then no, it's got to be like once in a lifetime.
Yeah, I have that. I have that Rage Against the Machine ticket that I didn't get a refund for, in the hopes that the show will still happen.
There you go.
I would consider going to get tested for that, but like if it's today, no way I would go to the concert.
No way. Let me like fast forward into the future. Right. Let's say this happens. They get the apps and all that.
I assume everything goes right.
You're going to have so much anxiety when you're standing in a crowded like stadium, like room or like arena or something like that.
Right.
You're not going to be able to enjoy yourself because you're going to feel like, what the fuck is this? What if, how do I know that that this person's test was accurate?
Right. You're absolutely correct. That's the other thing that's like weird to me is like, okay, if they do start back shows up, but there's still cases, there's still like the virus is, you know, hopefully toy, knock on wood, it'll be better than where it is now. But there would still be cases. Like, what are you going to do? Are you going to enforce social distancing at these shows? You're going to refund
half the people who got tickets to these sold out tours money, you know, like, no, like how is that going to work? It's too many questions. I don't know. I don't have the confidence shows will be back in the summer. And I don't think shows will be back until we're well into people getting vaccines and there is a good enough instant rapid test where you could get tested at the door, like the way they do the thermometer, like the temperature checks now. There needs to be a coronavirus, like an accurate coronavirus version. No, you're saying no. What do you think?
Well, I was going to say, I think the possibility of having outdoors shows and like really big fields and stuff is more probable than like venues opening up.
Right. Like that UK venue that we showed, it was out in a field and they would have those pods essentially.
Yes.
Where you buy a pod and that could be like your party of five people.
Yes.
That I could see happening this summer. And I mean, that was already kind of happening last summer. But it's, at most that.
Yeah.
I've totally forgot that just happened.
Because it didn't really. I mean,
yeah,
who
like
did anything?
Holy shit.
It got dark so fucking quickly. Like, it's like now I look outside at like 5 p.m. It's already.
Yeah, it's like 4:30. It's already like dusk.
I'm very much affected by that. Like that bothers
me. Well, we're like in the negative month of like where it's just getting darker earlier and earlier.
We're in a negative month.
Well, just every day it gets darker a minute earlier until the winter equinox.
Right.
And then it changes.
We just cease to exist.
But then even when it starts going the other way, it's still
it takes about a month
really dark for a month, you know.
I just like
gotta be optimistic.
I feel like because of quarantine and just like everything changing so abruptly, I just feel like there is no time anymore. Like I'm just like in like the center of time or something.
Do you play for the Deftones? Maybe?
Yeah, like would you say you're in some sort of simulation?
Yeah,
like EdTV. Life is like EdTV.
I had a little anecdote to share that happened to me this week. It's a very sad story, actually.
Oh,
no.
I'm not kidding. It's just kind of, I mean, it's not life-changing or anything, but it's a bit of a downer. I broke a streak that I believe to have, unless I'm mistaken, to have lasted roughly 25 years of my life.
My life,
something I had not done for 25 years, roughly. I shit my pants.
Oh no!
It was such a hectic day. I don't even remember where I was coming from, but it hit me probably about 45 minutes before I was going to be home. Right? And wow! And I was just tooth and nail, just fighting every step of the way. And I got
now commuting home.
Were you walking, sitting?
Yeah.
At the last moment.
Well, you said you were 45 minutes away from home. Where were you at that?
I was taking public transportation.
I see.
Subway or bus?
Subway and bus. I took both. And I got to within probably 2 blocks of my house. And this happens to me a lot. I get like, it's almost coming out. It's almost, and I'm like, it's all right. You know what? Team player, let's go. All my organs and muscles are going to function together and get me to the finish line. I'm going to envision like positive power of thinking, sitting on that bowl and, you know,
it's like that guy prevents herpes that way.
Yes, that's exactly. And most of the time it works. I don't know what success he has with the herpes, but I usually have no problem. And this time it was just key in the door and the floodgates opened.
That's the hardest second. Are the moment you reach your door,
yes,
to the moment you're sitting on the toilet. That is the most challenging part. I don't know what it is about your body. It's just your body just has this like radius.
It knows that you're home.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you just in prehistoric times, this is what you would just let go. So just let it go.
And also you're like all tense, so you're like struggling to get the key in the keyhole. It just makes it even.
And I want to say thank you to my good friends, all three of you, my co-hosts, for not really dunking on me, because I know this is something that you could really make fun of, and I'm you're very supportive.
I can't.
Of my shit misadventure. So thank you. It was a mess. I had to throw out all my clothes that were involved, and I feel terrible.
So was it like a was it a solid poo or was it a diuretic?
No, it was like
okay.
A six on that scale that they say. Yeah, it was like mushy.
So I know this is very. I know it's just this is very traumatic for you, but if I can ask you to go back to the moment.
Sure.
That
I'll try.
You know that your sphincter opened uncontrollably.
Yeah.
And the poop came out.
Yeah.
So like right after it happened, and you had to walk in the house. Were you doing that kind of like duck walk?
Yes.
You couldn't walk straight. As you
good
were before.
Observation. I was doing a very exaggerated waddle to keep shit from falling onto my floor. And
successful?
Successful. Except when I got in the bathroom, I had to disrobe and some of it leaked out. But it was like 90% contained in the irreparable clothing that I had to dispose of.
I will say it's very lucky that you were basically home when this happened. Because
if you were
two blocks away still and then had to do that...
Yeah,
I actually got sort of a paranoid OCD checking thing because I had to go back out into the hall when I was done showering and everything. And I said, maybe I left some droplets in the hallway.
You retrace your steps.
I was like, imagine there's a trail of shit going to my door. Everyone now knows I'm marked like the fucking lamb's blood in the Pharaoh story.
In the story of Passover.
I'm the pants shitter. Pants shitter apartment. Yeah, that was my sad story. Thank you for hearing me out. You're a very supportive bunch.
Every time, my problem is that if I overeat something that has weed in it, then I get super paranoid. And it's a paranoia that is, it just doesn't go away. Like, I can't talk myself out of it. And it usually goes to, oh my gosh, one day my digestive system is going to stop working. My bladder is going to stop working. Mm-hmm. As I age, I'm going to have less and less control, and I'm just going to like not be able to hold poop or pee. And I'm just going to like go all over myself. Like that's going to be a very vulnerable age. And you know, there's a possibility that you're going to reach that. And that like terrifies me for some reason.
But there's diapers.
Yeah.
You'll be prepared.
I think it's more I don't know if this is what Noah's getting at, but I share that in a sense too. And I think for me, it's not so much the shit getting anywhere. Like the diapers will prevent that, but I don't want to have that lack of control over my body or mine. And I feel another way, to a lesser extent now, I really hate coughing and sneezing. It happens, like I'm a human being, but when I cough or sneeze, I just like go into a rage because I hate fucking sneezing. I feel like it's me not being able to control what my body is doing. And it's, I don't know why. It's just rationally, I shouldn't. It's just a sneeze. Everybody sneezes.
What? When did this develop?
I think I've always just hated sneezing. I've never liked it.
How can you control it?
You can't. That's what
you
I'm saying.
Can't.
It's like
that's what he's saying.
It's a bodily function that you can't control, it's a spasm. That just happens, and it's frustrating. Not
we're control freaks over our own bodies, Rob. You don't know much about that. You're so free flowing in the world.
I control everything that goes into my body.
I control what goes into my body.
But we want the control of things going out of our bodies.
Yeah. Oh, I control that too.
I have terrible control over my sphincter. Like this, to me, it's amazing. That's why I was so proud of my streak, because whenever I have to shit, I have to shit. Like, I have to go then. I don't
wait,
I have
which
maybe
streak?
I'm not shitting myself. Oh, you mean like skid mark streak in my pants? Beyond being a streak. The streak was the part that didn't have shit on it.
You like should launder those pants and then we could give them away as a prize to a listener.
$500 tier.
Wow, you should have told me. They're gone.
I dumped them in the, that's another thing I'm paranoid about. Like, I don't put them in the regular garbage because I'm just afraid there'll be some garbage picker. And I'm not afraid. I wouldn't
they've
say
seen
afraid.
Worse.
Do you write your name in like on the back of your jeans?
I'm getting to that. No, I don't, obviously, but it could be in the garbage with something I've thrown away that has my address or apartment number on it, and they could identify me as a pants shitter.
And then is he going to go wait by your door to like point at you like when he's off work?
He'll start a blog with my likeness.
Just a list of addresses of like shit pants that he's found during work.
No,
he put
it's
it like in the Avenue M newspaper.
Oh, you give it away. You did, Noah.
I didn't give anything. It's where Jerusalem Pizza is.
That's true.
I don't live on Avenue M, but she's mentioning streets in my neighborhood.
Look, Avenue M goes a long way.
It does. Thank goodness.
Yeah, meet me in Avenue M in Canarsie, please. But no, Bobka had an accident today too. Her first accident since she's been potty trained. But I don't blame her. It was bad diarrhea, and I picked up on like when she is panting, that's like her signal, like, hey, I really gotta go. And at first I was like, oh, this is okay. Like it was already like 20 minutes in the morning, like right after I walked her. So I was like, oh, what's she doing? And then she just wouldn't stop panting. And it was like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to go walk her. And I go to get ready and I'm like, come on, let's go outside. And she's like coming to the door to go outside. And she's like, oh, I can't hold it. I can't hold it. Ah. Begin to convey to you how bad dog diarrhea smells.
Is it worse than dog shit?
It was, almost, like I was dry heaving.
Why do you think that is? Why would it be?
You were panting.
I think when it's liquid, it just spreads in the air more.
Yeah.
No. You know what I think it is? I think it's because it's mixed with like stomach liquid,
acid.
Like bile and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the butt juice and poop. It's just a big mess of it.
Ugh, it's brutal.
Poor little Bobka.
Did you save that, Rob, so we could send that to a listener?
Yeah, that's going to be the prize for the next Sexual Jeopardy.
And if he didn't save it, he could produce some more, probably.
True.
Are we announcing that now?
Oh, no. I was just making a joke.
Because we are going to be doing one of those in the near future.
Diarrhea on Rob's floor?
Yes, that and... Sexual Jeopardy as well.
For episode 600, we're going to get together and I'll take a shit on Rob's floor.
I'll do it.
Whoa, I didn't agree to this.
I didn't say on purpose. It just might happen.
As I'll be doing
see,
it on purpose.
I have no control over my bowels whatsoever. We are doing it. Well, you know what's funny is our 600 episode is the same week as our 12th anniversary, I think. My math is correct.
Oh, why did I think it was our 10th anniversary? We already had that.
2008 was our first show. So 12th anniversary.
12th, yeah.
December.
It's our 20th. Bat mitzvah.
20th? Something like that.
But it was 13.
Bar mitzvah is 13.
No, they're both the same. It's just one's for a boy and one's for a girl.
Yeah, Rob, come on.
No.
No?
Bat mitzvah is 12. And bar mitzvah is 13.
Thank you, Noah.
Jeez.
Sit down. I just checked. A girl becomes a bat mitzvah at the age of 12, according to Orthodox and conservative Jews.
Mm.
And at the age of 13, according to Reform Jews.
I was right then, you're saying.
Well, it just depends what kind of
Jew you are.
So you shouldn't have dunked on me.
No, it means these fake Jews like you, Darren, change the rules to make it 13 when the rule is 12.
Oh, okay.
That's what it
is. So you're representing the Orthodox Jews. In
yes, I was. I'm representing tradition.
Tradition.
Tradition. Tradition. Tradition. I think Fiddler on the Roof is on HBO Max if you if you want to watch one of the greatest musicals of all time.
Remember,
and I'm not even being sarcastic. I truly feel that.
Give us your top five musicals, Rob.
I'm not sure if I have that, but that's up there.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
I've never seen it. I've only.
You know, the movie version isn't that great. The
the original cast soundtrack I used to play on repeat, and it's got like, it's weird. They didn't bring, it's got so many great Broadway people on it, and they put a bunch of like people who weren't in the show ever in the movie version, and it's just not as nearly as good. The first movie they made in the 70s.
I like Chicago.
Do you like
a funny
Cats?
Thing happened on the way to the forum.
Cats, that's good. Cats is
awful. Oh, you were
in
that.
Awful.
I was.
Cats is awful.
That's all I got for
now. I can't sit through Cats.
Yeah, I never got
I've
through
never
Cats.
Seen Cats. I never liked Broadway musicals. I remember like everyone was ranting and
Book
raving
of Mormon
about Rent.
Was great.
Which one?
Book of Mormon. I really enjoyed it. Very good music. Yeah, I never Rent I never liked.
I was like, what? Why does everybody like this?
Because it was modern. It was like that era's Hamilton.
Right.
Like, I think Hamilton is completely overrated too.
I've still never seen or listened.
Yeah, I've watched like a few songs and I'm like, all right, I get it, whatever.
Hip hop for entitled rich white people.
But I do. But Book of Mormon was great. It was.
I enjoyed that as well.
Because it was like it showed respect to the traditional tropes of musical theater while still having like the, you know, quote unquote offensive humor of Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Yeah. What did you think of the Green Day musical, Rob? I know you saw that.
I didn't see that. Oh, the Spider-Man musical, of course.
You didn't even see the Green Day musical for work?
For work? They're not giving me comps for American Idiot.
They're not.
I figured the comp I would have went. No, I was not offered one.
Gotta say, Wicked is really good.
Oh, I was planning to go see that before the COVID.
Didn't Sebastian Bach perform in that?
Did he?
Yes, I think so.
Good soundtrack on that one.
Hair, that's another one.
I know nothing about that.
Oh, Kinky great. Boots?
I have not seen Kinky Boots.
Is that a musical or
yeah.
thing?
I think it's like Cyndi Lauper's story or something.
Oh, I saw Les Miserables, and that is one of the worst.
Yeah.
Musicals.
Very pretentious.
Did you go see it because it has your name in it and then you were disappointed?
No. In high school, our theater teacher would get these like heavily discounted Broadway tickets, and he
you
was
just go to
like
TKTS booth.
He would just get. We didn't, so he would just give them to us. He was like, "Hey, anybody want to go see the show next week?" So I saw a bunch of musicals that way. It was very nice. It was very cultured.
Was it during like school hours, or was this like?
No, it was like a nighttime. Like we would meet in the city.
Oh, that's allowed.
Sorry.
A teacher.
Yeah, this seems a little shady. Did he try to touch you?
No, he couldn't have been nicer when he touched me. No.
He didn't try, he said.
He succeeded.
My favorite was I saw Dame Edna, which was
and where
so
did she
good.
Touch you?
She touched me everywhere.
Right here.
Oh, I saw Hello Dolly, and I met Carol Channing.
Oh, no.
Which was so, like...
Did she say you look like the Big Show?
He said he was a calorie girl.
The Hello Dolly, we went to a matinee because it was like, they do the Wednesday matinees. So, and then she stuck around to say hi to us. And she was so nice. And I like barely knew who she was at the time. But she was like, I guess someone told her like there was a theater class here. So she gave us some encouraging words to keep trying. You could be up here one day, kid. It's just that this, actress took the time to. I always thought that was very nice.
I don't know how I forgot this, but Little Shop of Horrors is probably my favorite one of all time.
That was good.
Yeah. I watched. It must be years ago now. Do you ever see Dear Evan Hansen? That's probably the worst musical I've ever seen.
I see the name all the time, and it seems like such a bad name for a thing to go see. I don't even know what it's about. I see the poster, and it's like a cast, like somebody's arm in a cast or something. What the fuck is it about?
It's like a teen after-school special about suicide made into a musical. That's all you really need to know. Yeah. It's horrible.
Oh,
the songs are really bad, too, though. It's not just the subject matter. Like, it's just really... What's the, what am I looking for? It's like a prefabricated like 2020 pop song.
When did you
basically see
it?
I watched it like a download of it.
Oh, okay. I think Mike Birbiglia worked. It's like his play.
I didn't go see it. No, no way.
Oh.
Mike Birbiglia is involved in that somehow?
I think I'm pretty sure yes.
Like he wrote it? What do you?
Hold on,
I gotta look this up.
Or maybe
up.
I'm confusing it with the new one. But no, I feel like he worked on Dear Evan Hansen.
There's a Dear Evan Hansen 2? Are they making
it? Furiously looking this up.
Yeah, I don't see anything.
I can see it in his glasses. He's furiously typing. Looks like
he's reading.
I don't see anything about.
He found a grammatical error.
No, I don't think.
Mike Birbiglia spelled Birbiglia wrong on his website.
Yeah, I don't see anything about him and Dear Evan Hansen. Maybe I'm not Googling well, but he doesn't do musicals.
Yes, he does.
Songs.
He had the new one was his Broadway play.
But it's stand up. It's like spoken word and stand up. It's not a musical. Just him doing like it's the way comedians get away with like their stand up being sort of not laugh out loud funny. They just do it on Broadway or say it's like a one man show.
Oh, okay.
And it's just your stand up, but it's a little bit more serious, so people aren't going to laugh that much. It's good, but it's not a musical. I've seen most of them. They put most of them up on Netflix.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe I'm just in a simulation where. Mike Birbiglia worked on Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah, it's probably.
You
I mean,
guys
it's possible.
Aren't. It's just like my Zoom screen. That's the simulation.
Was he wearing chinos in the special?
Yes.
He had culottes.
Rob, are you okay?
I know.
Do you know that Fred Culotte?
Up chinos.
He invented culottes. They named culottes after him. They saw him at Urban Outfitters exclusively.
I thought Rob said cappuccinos.
Oh. No, it's a little too late for a cappuccino. But no, do you have a geek to geek story that you've been wanting to share?
Oh boy.
Yes. So I was so inspired by the story of geek to geek on our show.
To pause, geek to geek, 10 years ago on the show.
Wait, so you inspired yourself?
Noah signed Sid up to this dating service.
It was
service.
More than 10 years ago. It was like year one of the show.
Yeah.
Year of
the show. It's all geek to geek. It's
well, Rob is a flat earther about how long the show's a geek. He just told you. 10 years to him.
That is year one, yeah.
It's my Mandela effect. I could have swore it was 10 years ago. So you were inspired by that.
Yeah. So basically, I signed Sid up to geek to geek, and he was really, really mad at me, but it led to something really good. It like showed him that women respond and they're interested in him. So
is that true, Sid? Sid had girlfriends before that.
No. I didn't say he didn't.
I didn't use the account, so I don't know. Did people respond? I don't.
I feel like we logged on air.
No, it was like catfishing people. That's what I learned. The catfishing is wrong.
You were very upset that I.
You stole my identity.
Sid was really mad at me because I posted pictures of him that had like Lonnie and the other friend of yours.
Oh, Jordan.
Yeah. And you were very, very mad that like we put pictures up and we gave you a really cool screen name and people were responding.
That's not very cool at all.
Sid was, in 12 years of doing this show, I've never seen him more actually like not joking upset than that on the show. He was like legit fuming.
He felt violated.
He was straight up fuming. Like
it wasn't a bit.
You
were so mad.
If it was a bit, you did the best acting job.
I don't remember if I was mad or not, but sure, I'll take your word for it. Sure.
You know, you were furious. I remember. Because how would I not remember that? Still to today, it was what, 11 years ago?
It was very funny.
So anyway, it encouraged Sid to go like on his own on OkCupid, and that's where he met his wife. So I wanted the same thing for a friend of mine who's single for a long time.
Oh boy.
And in quarantine, he's not really meeting anyone. He's like totally like checked out of dating. So So I thought, okay, well, maybe if I create an account for him, he'll see that women respond. So I go to Geek to Geek. And
why is it always Geek to Geek?
Because she's really, dunking on the person.
It's yeah, right. Like there's a million like more popular sites.
Because I just like I believe that if I repeat the process, he will have the same trajectory.
But Noah, can I interrupt you for a second? You said you put Sid on Geek to Geek, correct?
Yes.
And because of this experience, he learned that women will respond, and then he took that knowledge and went to OkCupid. So why don't you just start with OkCupid?
Yeah, right?
Am I missing something
because
here?
My logic was that if I try to do the same exact thing, then the same exact I'll get the same exact result, which is my friend seeing that women respond, you know, could copy the profile that I wrote for him, use the same pictures, didn't have to go through the whole process, and just do it on his own on OkCupid.
Yeah, she wants to motivate her friend to start his own OkCupid profile. That's why she's starting with a lower tier social network to shame him. Fine, I'll just do my own.
So, look, it was completely with good intention. So I signed up for the gold subscription.
Okay.
So you're paying for a subscription for Geek?
Well,
for your
friend? A first timer, it was $10 for the golden tier.
Oh boy.
And I said, look, friend, here it is for a month. You know, can I like? Do you want me to, like, you know,
what was your
like,
friend's reaction when when you told him about this?
He was very uncomfortable, but he said thank you. And
then you walked away. And he said, fuck.
Have you spoken to this friend since?
Yes, every day we talk.
Okay.
So. You know, at first he was like, okay, you know, because he didn't want to have to write a profile or choose the pictures or whatever. So that cut all that work for him. And I wrote a very flattering profile, like what a woman would like to see, highlighted all his best qualities, and chose really good photos of him. Unfortunately, where he's staying, there's not, you know, there's not much around. But, you know, here and there... No, he's in another state, like very isolated.
Oh.
I don't want to say where he is. But so anyway, you know, like I was like winking at other women and you
so
know.
So you were, in fact, catfishing. You were pretending to be your friend.
Is well, this going to end up with you hooking up with a girl and fuck your friend? Screw him.
Are you going to get married to this person you wanted to hook your friend up with?
No. I gave him the login. I said, go in. You know, I sent him links to the girls I thought were cute. And I was like, you should just wink at them. But he said, no. So I'm like, I'll do it for you then.
At every step of the process, this man is telling you he wants nothing to do with this. Why don't you just take the cue?
Because when I said, do you want, if I do it, is it okay? And he said, fine.
He's humoring you. Fine. Yeah. You know, don't you know what fine means? Fine is when you just. You pressure someone so much that they just don't want to argue with you.
Yeah, it's like, what can I say to end this conversation? Oh, let's try fine. That worked cool.
Oh, I thought
women
fine
are supposed to know.
Ahead.
Women are supposed to know what fine means. They're the ones that pioneered this usage of the language.
It's hold like saying sure.
Fine has 83 different meanings along the verbal spectrum. It can mean anything.
Well, I thought it's the one definition that meant okay. Go ahead.
So,
well, and okay, so anyway, so for like maybe like a week and a half, this was going on, and then, you know, I just kind of like let it go, and I was like, all right, Roland.
I knew it. Can I say something? I won't repeat what you just said, but okay. I was going to make a joke that it was that person.
Oh, I instantly.
And, right. And I said, let me not, because there's an 83% chance that it's that person.
Noah just blowing everyone's spot up tonight. My goodness.
Well, that's going to get bleeped. So
the other thing is getting bleeped,
for
too.
For our Patreons, though. Okay. So anyway, so I forget about it until I see my credit card bill that had a $50 charge for a Geek to Geek.
Oh, my God.
Scam to scam.
No, it's not scam to scam, because I chose it and I forgot to cancel it in time. So it's all on me. Mm-hmm.
scammer got scammed.
You got to go on there and get laid now.
Well, I went on and I terminated the account. But then I look at my credit card bill and I'm thinking, like, do I call my credit card to dispute a Geek to Geek charge? Because
right.
What that process looks like is you get on the phone with your credit card company and you call the vendor. So I would have to say you'd have to call Geek to Geek customer service and help me cancel this subscription. So I was like, there's no way I'm going through that. So I'll just fucking pay it.
This is like Darren's fear of having his duty pants discovered by a sanitation worker.
100%. Imagine if you had to call up a line once you shat your pants and talk to somebody about it. That's what this is. 100%. This is Noah's pants shitting episode.
Like if Levi's had a program where they're like, if you shit yourself while wearing Levi's, all you have to do is call us. Tell us all your information and that you shit yourself, and we'll send you replacement pants. But right. You got to have the nerve to call us and admit that you shit yourself.
And the one person who does that gets pants named after them, and they get sold at Urban Outfitters.
And his name is Chino Moreno.
and they also have to be wide leg pants, so the shit coat comes right out.
And Moreno means brown in Spanish, so there you go. It's perfect.
There we go. Rob.
All right, I got distracted by an email. Oh, I was looking up the shout-outs.
Orton?
Looking online for these shit pants. So there. I definitely paid for it. I got what I deserved. So. But I was in earnest, like, trying to do something sweet for my friend.
It was like a tax for the catfishing, it feels like.
Why didn't you just, like, do a Tinder account?
Because I knew that he was not going to use it, and I felt like with Geek, like, I just, again, I wanted it to be like it happened to you, and I used your story as inspiration to sell him on it.
Did you make him listen to that episode of the podcast?
No.
That might...
Definitely not.
So he wasn't going to use Tinder, you said. So you didn't choose Tinder, but he's not going to use this either. And if he somehow did decide to, there's probably less people on there, right?
Well, the thing is there's less people on Geek to Geek. So like if he was like intimidated, like I remember when I didn't want to sign up to the app, it's because I didn't want to like bump into someone that I knew. Mm-hmm. So it could be like very like anonymous and just like dipping his toe into it.
I see.
And then he could decide if he wanted Tinder or OkCupid, but I was hoping it would be like the same trajectory as Sid.
So did you only put a picture of a toe on there?
No. Chose very nice photos of him.
I will go toe to toe with us, shoulder to shoulder toe.
That was actually his bio.
Oh.
Yeah.
That she used.
Just Mark B. Rant. The whole text is Mark B. Rant.
Yeah. In certain parts of the country, that does really well.
If you don't want to go out with me,
go to hell.
Yeah.
I like all kinds of women: Christian, Dominican, African American, God knows what.
Just don't tell people you're into domination.
Oh,
they might misunderstand.
Then they called me a Jew bastard.
I should take a second to interject the fact that we did a Zoom hangout for our non-patrons as sort of a teaser. Like, you see what you get when you become a patron. So we had some people from our Discord, and it was a nice, like, rollicking good time in there. We had, like, 10 people in there.
Yeah, it's great.
And we actually watched a Mark B. video.
Yeah. A couple of them.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
We sort of MST3K'd it a little bit, you know. And
it's great.
Everyone got to see what he looked like for the first time. A lot of fun.
Rob?
Well, we got to wind it down.
Uh-huh.
And, I shouldn't have opened my email because I keep getting I'm like, I've been waiting for this.
Show-related? They're just emails you're getting?
It's just the blog he signed up to about Flat Earth.
Oh, no.
No,
it's my Geek to Geek notifications. I keep getting messages. I keep getting poked on there. I was just like, oh.
Winked.
is that
your winkies. They give you winkies.
Well, before we wind it down for the night, I want to give a few winkies to our top live cast fans of the week. And you could be a top Livecast fan of the week by joining our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. And for $10 a month, we give you a little shout out at the end of the show, and you get access to all the episodes, all the $5 perks. So here are our top Livecast fans of the week. We have Eric, Rabba Ganoush, aka Justin, Benjamin, El Duderino, Dan R, Cattle Decaf, Mindy Mayer's Kippa, Croc Destroyer, Jander, Chasseur Chasseusitz, LaCroix, The Crustacean Sensation, aka Got Stomper, Ash Bozhilov, Dallas, Rob of Vampiro, Shane, Hugo Likes Tacos, Lando Danks, and hey guys, it's Jack. All right, that's our show. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next Tuesday. Any final words?
We love you.
Chinos.
Really tune in today?
Or was this just an alternate dimension?
Is this a flat podcast or a spherical gastrous ball?
I know one of us is flat.
You're flat. You can't even carry your fucking mouth.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. This is the podcast that never ends.
Right. Nothing. You nothing.
We did it.
Okay, wait. So what is on Sunday? I'm sorry. Like, I was just going crazy having to set this thing up. I just wanted to get it done. So what's the Patreon episode?
We're doing a Kurt and Courtney watch along.
Okay, and you want to do it Sunday?
We could do it Saturday.
I told you before, I can do it Saturday if I get my, tell you what hours I need blocked off, because I don't know. I have to look it up.
I'm pretty sure the movie's only 90 minutes, so.
How about we do it? All right. I guess just let me know, because I definitely have to get stuff done on Saturday, but I could do it Sunday.
I could move stuff around and do it on Sunday. If we want to do it like 1.
Fine with me.
12:01-ish.
Yeah.
Sunday, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. That's definitely... actually, I'm not sure.
All right, let's talk about it on the chat.
I got to put
a video. Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye.